I'm going to try to not use the stool today, okay? So if y'all see me kicking around a little bit, that just means I'm unlocking that knee, okay? So bear with me on that. Brother John said it about right. My heart's heavy this morning. It's been heavy all week. With for the Chandler family, for Mary, and it's been a busy week. And then especially with Mama and what all happened, I wanted to give y'all a little bit of all kind of what happened, what unfolded through mine and Anne-Marie's eyes, really, as things were just unfolding. But I can reassure you that God was there with us the entire time. And that he reminded us who he is and exactly in his word where he stands and where we draw comfort from. I would like to say this before we get started, though. William Bradley was a member of this church. Me and Brother Alvin were talking. I think the Bradleys have probably been gone from here for probably about, I don't know, 10 years maybe. Right in that area. Does that sound about right? Somewhere in that area. But William was a active deacon in this church, led a Sunday school class. He used to put together all the Promise Keepers trips before I took over doing that for him when he left. There was always somebody who guided me. And back then, when Tony and I joined in basically about 2000, we're going to have to back up about 22 years ago, I had an utter fear of praying in public. I did. Didn't like to be called on to pray. Because, I'll give y'all a pat on the back, because you can't follow Jerry Green in a prayer. Amen. You can't follow James Carter in a prayer. You can't follow Marlon Seymour in a prayer. You can't follow Alvin Bryant in a prayer. You can't follow Benny in a prayer. Because these guys, when they pray, man, you just stand there in awe. And there's several more like that too in this church that you go, wow, I could never do that. I caught myself, person who, when I first started doing it, was Curtis Jackson. I would hang on. He was closest to me because we sat right there behind him. I would hang on his every word when he was praying. Finally, I realized, though, it wasn't what I comprehended from hearing somebody else. It was how my relationship was with Jesus. And when I just pour out my heart to him, it doesn't matter what I say, because I'm praying in his name. So when I'm asking for strength and for guidance and for counsel, and for just enough for right now, God, just keep me in the here and the now. God answers those prayers. And he does it for each and every one of us. So I can remember sitting back in William Bradley's class, and I can remember him saying, Michael, why don't you close us up today? And I remember going, what am I going to say? Here goes nothing. Lord, thank you for that. And it just comes out. There's never a reason for us to be ashamed when we might not think or when we feel inadequate. There's never a reason for us to feel that way because God's got us. There's a lot of things going on in this world right now that will make you check up and check everything around you. Amen? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? You go watch the news, I dare you, and I don't encourage you to, but you know what I'm saying. With everything that's going on around us right now, we tend to go, man, are we getting close? Possibly could be. We never know. Only God knows that. Only God knows that. The best thing we can be doing as his people are living every day reflecting him. Amen? To be doing exactly what he's called us to do, to be the brother or sister that he wants us to be. When we look at the gospel of John, now I'm going to tell you something. Me and my sister, we had a crazy week this week. We had to make decisions that we really didn't, when we started our weeks out on Sunday, we were not expecting to be making decisions like that, but we had to make them. But you know what? God was guiding us the whole time, and I'm going to explain to you where he was throughout my week, okay? I'm going to tell you exactly where I saw him in the mist, and I'm going to tell you exactly how I saw him working. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to turn to the Gospel of John in chapter 6. Miss Kim will have it on the big board for me. So if you, whatever you want to do, there ought to be a hymnal right in front of you. Let's go to 6, and we're going to open up with chapter 6, starting at verse 25. Jesus, the bread of life, is what it says. And to give you a little scenario, let's open up with the scriptures and pray, and then we'll get opened up, okay? Let's pick up in 25 right there. It says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs that I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. 27 says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Let's open up with a word. Let's open up with prayer right there. Lord Jesus, as we come to this time, God, I pray, Lord, that you open our hearts, Father God, to your word, dear God, that we may accept it, dear God, and let it penetrate our hearts to see exactly what you're talking about here, so that, Lord, we may, as we start our weeks on our day one, that we may take your word and apply it to our lives, that we may be the men, the women that you've called us to be, Father God, that we may be ready to witness at a moment's notice, Father God, to lend a helping hand, Lord, whatever you call us to do. Lord, I pray, God, that you will be with us in these next few minutes as we just look at your word and we ponder it and we study it, Father God. Let it impress on our hearts, dear Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you for everything you do. Forgive us of all of our sins when we fail you, Lord. These things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. Are you not shocked there that right there that he says, very truly I tell you, you're not looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. If we back up to chapter 6 right there, we see that Jesus has just fed 5,000 people. And he has done it with basically a pack of crackers and a can of sardines. To be honest, we had 2 small fish and we got 5 small barley loaves that he has distributed. And then when the disciples were done, they picked up numerous baskets that they had left over of everything. And the people were following him. It was for the wrong reasons. I hope you see that in the scripture right there. He wasn't following him because they had caught on that Jesus is the bread of life, but because they had their fill. The next day has pressed on. But look, is what's so shocking right here is that they press him again for something else. So it says right there in 28, he says, then they asked him, what must we do the works God requires? Jesus answered very simply, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. To believe in the one that he has sent. Do you realize that there are 7 I am statements in the book of John? Just in the book of John. 7 I am statements that tells exactly who Jesus is. John 6:35 says, I am the bread of life. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. John 10:7, he says, I am the door. John 10:11, he says, I am the good shepherd. John 11:25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, one of our popular ones, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then John 15:1, he says, I am the true vine. When Mother, I'm going to explain everything that happened to us this week. And trust me, with Wednesday, with Brother Lawrence's funeral, with the family, Thursday morning, I really just wanted to go to work and have a day of normalcy is really what I wanted in my own life. I know that's selfish of me, but that's what I really wanted. I just wanted to go and work on my golf carts and be left alone because my heart was heavy. Well, lo and behold, my sister calls me. And it's weird to see sometimes we're not good at talking all the time. So when her name pops up, you're like, oh, crap. You know, like, what's happened now? Hey, what's up? Hey, I need you over here. What's going on? We're having some problems with Mama. She can't breathe. I need your help. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and call the paramedics. I think that's a good idea. Call them. Let me get, I'm on, blah, 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 blah. I'm on the way. Call me. I'll let you know. See you. Bye. All right. Boom. Jet over to Mama's. Mama has the weirdest symptoms, though. When you set my mother up, she can't breathe. But when you lay her down, she can breathe. We were puzzled by this anomaly that was happening in front of us because we couldn't figure it out. You can't breathe sitting up, but you can breathe lying down. Okay, well, that's a little strange, but we're going to go with it. So after the ambulance had looked at her, they assumed it was possibly COVID. She had some congestion. We were thinking along the same lines. They had already told us the hospitals are full. The emergency room is full. You're going to have a problem. We said, okay, we can take that. Best bet, find a COVID test. Okay. Guess what? There's none available around here at all. So your next bet is the COVID clinic, which I explained to the nurse on the phone. If I sit her up, she can't breathe. So I cannot get her over there in a car. So after watching Mama the next 10 or 15 minutes, we made the decision we're going to call the ambulance again. This is our only option at this point. This is filling y'all in on just everything that kind of happened. Ambulance comes again, picks her up, takes Mother to the hospital, which Anne-Marie then at this point has gone home. I'm following the ambulance. I go to the hospital. Well, the first thing they tell me is, you can't come in. Okay, I'm totally respect that. I understand. I really don't want to be in there because there's a lot of sickness going around. But she says, I'll tell you what, where's your mother now? I said, I have no idea, to be completely honest with you. So, y'all are going to laugh at this, but my mother has just acquired a smartphone as of about 1 month ago, 4 weeks. And she has been, in this process of 4 weeks, my dear sister has taught her how to text. I know y'all think that's funny, but this is the truth. She don't text. Well, guess what? I get a text from my mother. And I thought, oh, praise you, Jesus. She's texting, Mother, where's your location? Well, I'm still sitting in the ambulance. I said, what are you doing in the ambulance? Well, there's no room, so they just parked me here. I said, you're safe. You're by yourself. That's good. I'll take it. So I've got eyes on the ambulance where she's at. And I said, okay. Well, I said, do me a favor. As soon as you're coming out of the ambulance, text me. I will then go around and go into the ER masked up to see what I can do. Boom. So then we said, okay, Mama texts me a few minutes later. I'm going into the ER right now. I said, I'm on my way. I'm in the parking lot out front.
get out of the truck. I start walking around. I put my mask on, walk right into the emergency room. And he said, hey, what can I do to help you? I said, they're admitting my mother, Sandra Gilliard, who is in the back right now, and they're trying to get her up. He says, she's not even in the system yet. I said, that's fine. I'm telling you, she's been sitting in the ambulance, and they've now just moved her in. Okay, well, I'll tell you what you do. We can't allow no guests to sit in here, so you have to go back out to your truck and wait. And I said, okay. Well, so that's not a problem. I mean, I'll be happy to do that, but is there anything y'all need from me? And about this time, this lady walked past me, and she said, hey, just let him come over here, and let me check everything. Simple as that. Lo and behold, God just led that lady to say that to me. And I'm fixing to lead you into the next part of the story. I go right over there and I sit down in a cubicle. And she says, Sandra Gilliard, I said, she should be in your system. I have nothing. Well, Mr. Gilliard, does she have a living will? I said, yes, she does. Do you happen to have a copy of it? I said, no, I don't. And I said, but hold tight real quick. I would have blown that will off at any other time, like I've done so many times in the past, but something told me to call my sister. I called Anne-Marie, and she said, oh, you just called me right before I left. I said, surely there's a living will there. We need to lay our hands on it. Anne-Marie said, she looked through the magical file cabinet that Mother has. That's what we call it. It's got everything in it. She couldn't find it. Anne-Marie said, don't worry. I actually found a copy of it at my house. So by this time, you have to wait an hour for the COVID test because they had to COVID test her because if she has COVID, nobody can go in. But if she's negative, she gets one person in. Okay, we can handle that too. So by the time Anne-Marie finishes all of her stuff at home, she has a copy of the living will in her hand. And we said, perfect. Now we get the phone call. This is all creeping up on 2 o'clock. I'm still sitting in the truck out front in the hospital. We finally get the call. COVID test is negative. One person can come in. Anne-Marie and I look at each other. Do you want to go? You want it? You want me to take it? What do you want? I'll take it. I got her. Anne-Marie heads on into the hospital with the living will in hand. And I sat right there in my truck and I prayed, God, if her time on this earth is done, Lord, be merciful, take her quick, is the only thing I ask. If her time on this earth is done, please be merciful. She has served you, Father. She has been there. She has been a spiritual giant in my life. Take her quick if this is her time. Lo and behold, my mother shared with me that she had the exact same prayer sitting in that ambulance. That if it's my time, Lord, I'm ready to go. When we got that living will in there and got everything turned in, that doctor walked in, and when they found it, they said, her COVID test is negative, but she has a hole in one of her lungs. And we looked at one another. How do you get a hole in your lung, Mother? What have you been doing? Oh, well, I fell about a week and a half ago. How bad? You told me this fall wasn't bad, Mama. Well, I hit the bedside table with what? My back. So the thing broke your fall? Yeah. Mama. And that's about where it hurt so bad was where that hole is. I said, okay. That lung had filled up with fluid. And you know what that doctor said? Living will in hand, he said, we need to put her on a ventilator. I said, do what? Where's that come from? We need to get her on a ventilator right now. I said, that ain't happening. Well, it needs to happen because she's got fluid on that lung. We need it to rest. And if we get her on the ventilator, the ventilator will do the breathing for her and allow that lung to recover. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, my mother is not going to go on a ventilator. She has a DNR and she is serious about it. No life-sustaining support whatsoever. If it's her time, it's her time, and she's okay with that. She's not going to do that. He said, well, she needs to. I said, luckily, we had the living will in hand. That's the end of that argument right there. She's already said, Doc, we ain't doing it.
Needless to say, all we needed was prayer and patience. Now, the whole reason that everything went so topsy-turvy that day was when Mother had gone in, Mother was having leg cramps, which my family, Anne-Marie, myself, a lot of us have RLS. It's hard for us to sleep at night. We rub holes in the sheets. Our legs move. Hers does too, and they twitch. They cramp. That's part of life for us. And we told her that. Mama said, my legs are hurting so bad. And Anne-Marie had even commented on it too, that her legs are hurting her real bad. So we understood what the ER was doing. They gave her morphine. And you're talking about the lady who hasn't had a glass of wine in 55 years. No, I don't think she's ever, we don't know, okay? I was giving her credit for maybe her 20s. She had go-go boots back then, you know what I mean? And so we didn't know what happened back then. It was before our time. But you get what I'm saying. Nothing really strong goes into her system is what I'm getting at. So when they pumped morphine into her, guess what? She had a reaction. And guess what? Her numbers started going all over the place. Heart rates are down. Blood pressure's down. Oxygen level's down. Now we've changed gears to, we don't know if she's going to make it. What? We just came in here for this and, man, we're going, this is going wild. This is the wildest ride I've ever been on. And all we needed was prayer and patience. When I think back and when God had me go in there when she asked that question, God knew we were going to need that living will at that time. And I saw him working. I saw him working through the scenes. I saw him right there with my mother when we were praying for her. And they said, well, we want to do this now. We said, no, we don't want to do anything. We just want to let God work is all we want to do. You can give her the medicine for the antibiotics, but let's just quit for a minute. We don't have to hit her with everything at one time. I get what you're trying to do, but we just need some prayer and we just need some patience. Okay, we can do that. Well, lo and behold, I got the church praying. We got our in-laws. We got our brothers and sisters praying. Before you know it, we had a lot of people praying. And going into that night, it was very, very touch and go. But guess what? The next morning, hey, I'm fine. Everything's back normal. What? What happened? What about the numbers? All that stabilized. Everything's good. Mama said, it was that morphine they gave me. Michael, you know, I had the weirdest dreams. I thought I was upside down in my bed. Oh, it was messing with her big time. She thought she was trapped in the little railing over there, Ronna. She couldn't get out. She was in distress. I said, so I went in the next morning and sat with her, and there she is just sitting grinning. Have you talked to Dolly yet? Yes, I talked to her yesterday evening, as a matter of fact. Well, what about Doug? Did you talk to Jim? What about Amanda? Did you talk to the family? Yes, I've done told everybody. Everybody's praying for you. I said, how are you feeling? Oh, much better this morning. All my numbers are settled down. You know, we need to put in my chart that they don't need to give me morphine. It made me a little crazy. Did you think? Mama, your numbers went all over the place last night. We thought you were a goner. Well, you know what? When I was sitting in that ambulance, I prayed and told the Lord if he was done with me, I was ready to go. But he reassured me it's not my time yet. I said, praise Jesus. I said, I'm happy for you. God, Jesus has given the Jews a message right here. He says, so they, look at what they did. Jesus answered, picked up, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. He's 30 says, so they asked him, what sign then will you give that we
we may see it and believe you. What will you do? Now, I can't believe that he's just fed the 5,000 the day before, but here we are asking for another sign from Jesus. And it says, 31 says, our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. He's talking about the true bread, where they're still talking about the bread that the Israelites fed off of. Now, I'm going to have to tell you something. A most common, Jaden, you're going to back me up on this. When you go home in the evening and you get done with school, I am sure you utter three words just like every other person has heard in here for in your life. What's for supper? Or I am hungry. Yeah. What's for supper? Well, the man, the Israelites in the wilderness, 40 years, God provided manna every day for them. Go back, look at Exodus 16. It tells you. They provided so nobody had to ask what was for supper. Now, let's talk about this for a second, too. The Israelites, I'm sure, had 101 different ways to cook manna. Amen. Do y'all all, who all seen Forrest Gump in here? Everybody, right? And y'all remember Bubba and he was in the shrimping business, right? I had to write this down. This is good. He said, you could barbecue it, you could boil it, you could broil it, you could bake it, you could saute it, you could have manna kebabs, manna creole, manna gumbo, you have it pan fried, deep fried, stir fried. They probably had a way to cook manna in 1,000 different ways. You got to remember 40 years of the same thing. That's a lot. But you never asked what was for supper. He says, if we were to ask the question of who Jesus is, there would probably be different answers of the way you put my Lord and Savior. There probably would be. But Jesus gives us the seven statements in John that tells us exactly who he is and that all we need to do is rely on him. Because I still ask for your prayers for my mother. I ask for your prayers for the Chandler family, for the Bradley family, for all the ones that are hurting right now, recovering from COVID, for Brother Tim, for everybody. I covet those prayers, lift them up. God hears us. The last 2 weeks we have talked nothing about but prayer and persistence in our life. And that when we cry out to God, he hears us. He hears our words. He hears our prayers. We need to always remember to do that. No matter what is happening. Because in these next set of scriptures right here, you're going to see how Jesus will satisfy your spiritual hunger. Look at what he says right there. Let's pick it up in, I done went over myself probably three times today, but that's all right. Pick it up in 33. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared the first time right there, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. We take comfort in Jesus. When we talk about the word faith, forsaking all, I trust him. And that doesn't mean you're supposed to trust everybody. They told a story a long time ago that a gentleman was up in I forgot how the actual little story went, but there was a man who had stretched a tight wire from building to building in New York. and he was a tightrope walker is what he was, and he had this old wheelbarrow that he would put at the end, and he would run it out there and run it across, and it was, and now the crowd would just cheer, yeah, that was awesome. And they're like, he was like, do you want me to do it again? And they were like, yeah. And he was like, do you think I can do it? And the crowd was like, yeah. And he was like, who wants to get in the wheelbarrow? Well, the crowd went silent. Well, I don't trust him that much. It's funny how things change when you're put on the spot like that. But things never change with God's word. Take comfort. We need to all put our trust in him today. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, can you put it up for me, Kim? Don't turn there, just look at the board. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. 4 says, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the suffering of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We can take comfort in Jesus today, knowing that he has a plan for each and every one of us, knowing that all we have to do is trust him. Look for him through the lines. Look for him in your life when he's working. Look for him in the midst of troubles. Look for him always. Let's close today. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time that you have given us, God, that we're able to just come into your house, dear God, and just love on you. I pray, God, that you will open your word to us, dear God, that we may accept it, Lord. Let it penetrate our hearts, God, and do exactly what you need to do in our lives. We pray, Lord, for all those that are missing this morning, Father God. Be with them. Bring them back safely. We pray that everybody is healthy and well. For all those that we mentioned on our prayer list, God, be with them, Lord. We thank you, God, for our Lottie Moon offering, dear Lord, and what we were able to raise up, Father God, for our missionaries. Be with us, Father God, as we, dear God, share your word this week. Lord, we love you and we thank you. These things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. Anna's going to sing our hymn of invitation today. If everybody would please rise. Sunday school's right afterwards. And then remember a business meeting at 11:35. If you see somebody who isn't here today,